to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Oh, and welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And today is no different. Every day, every program that we bring you is just that, an opportunity for you to glean from our guest and their materials, whether it be a book or a CD or just information on a website, and take a look at it and see what you think and see if maybe some of that might work in your life. You know, we have talked about a lot of different aspects of human existence, and we've talked about near-death experiences. We've discussed issues of health and wellness from more holistic perspectives, alternative means, and so forth. And we have even discussed all of the more esoteric aspects. We've talked about 2012 and those kinds of things. We'll discuss that in more detail as we get closer to December 21st to 2012. And I will tell you right now, we will be here December 21st, 2013. So don't worry about it. It's going to be just fine. Matter of fact, you know, what might help you if you don't have one? And you're of a mind and you've been thinking about it? You ever thought about getting a pet? A nice cat or a dog? I would highly recommend that you get one that's already fixed so that it can't have additional kittens. And we're not talking about someone who's wanting to breed. We're just saying, hey, you know, animals can be an incredible barometer. They can be an incredible giver of that unconditional love. They can also be consternation and frustration, but that's part of any relationship, and we are talking about relationships. I want to welcome to our microphones my guest today, the author of Wagging Tales, and his name is Tim Link, and he is joining us here on the program, and I want to thank you so much for joining us. You're sort of the, what, animal psychic?
Oh, well, thanks, first of all, for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity, have a chance to talk to everybody. You know, I always tell people you can call an animal psychic, animal communicator, someone has a telepathic connection with animals, knowing of animals. Really, whatever you call it, as long as you call me to help you out, that's all I care about.
I know that in my life, now I didn't grow up per se with a dog or a cat, although there was one exception, and that was a cat by the name of Calico, who was a calico cat. I had hamsters, things like this, lost hamsters. My sister had parakeets, but we never had a dog in the house. My dad has never really been a big pet person. He's also allergic to cats, so that doesn't help. So we never grew up with the big furry animal running through the house, you know, playing and taking them for walks. So we never had that aspect of, say, the childhood discipline. Nor did we get that kind of input as far as love was concerned, although I come from a very large family. Now, in my later years, I have 30 chickens. I have 2 dogs and 5 cats, and I have a feeling we're going on 6. And I got to tell you, as frustrating as it can be at times, especially when you have little tiny kittens running around the house and you've got to watch where you walk and step, it is one of the most incredible, wonderful experiences. To not have them now, it's like, yeah, there would be an enormous void in both my life and my wife's life without animals. Tell me about how you perceive animals in the home as far as family members.
Right. Well, you know, they're a huge part of our lives, and they're a major part of our family unit, as I call it. You know, we bring them into our lives, or most of the times they find us, and there's a reason and purpose for them being there. And it's more than just the love and affection that they give you and that unconditional love and affection they give you, but the deeper meaning behind it. You know, many of them are there to teach us things, teach us lessons in life. They'll come into our lives whenever they, whenever we have challenges in our lives, whether it's physical challenges or emotional challenges, changes in our lives that we're going through, and they'll present themselves. We'll have an animal in our life that'll get us through that situation. And sometimes we recognize it then and there, and we realize why they're there. Most of the time it takes till after they've transitioned, after they've moved on, and then we reflect back and realize that, hey, you know, that particular dog, that particular cat, or that particular bird got me through that tough situation, kept my mind off of my problems in life. It helped me get through it, and I'm a better person for it. So I think they're a huge part of our lives.
How many animals do you have?
We have quite a menagerie. We've got our boys, our two schnauzers, and we have a turtle, a rabbit, four fish tanks, eight finches, and I know there's probably a couple of cats outside, so I know there's some that we're missing out on, but we have quite a menagerie, and it's always been that way since my wife and I have been married. You know, we've been together for married for 23 years, been together for 30 years. And the reason I mentioned the 30 years is, you know, when we went to high school together, she's my high school sweetheart. We went to college together. I lived in a fraternity house for the first couple of years. Then I got my first dumpy old apartment. It was really just pitiful-looking apartment, but it was cheap, and I could afford cheap. And 2 days into my bachelorhood came my first Pomeranian puppy. So from then, it's been quite a menagerie. But, you know, I probably have a similar background to you. You know, when I was raised, my dad was very, animals were typically for farm use, you know, using them to plow the fields and do those things. That's how he was raised. He's one of 13 kids raised on a huge farm and had to leave school in sixth grade to go work the farm. And that was sort of his background as far as animals were concerned. So when myself and my two older sisters were growing up, Dad never thought about having an inside animal. Our house was very, very modest. We lived in a 675-square-foot house with my two older sisters, my mom and dad, so we didn't really have room for an animal inside. We did have a collie shepherd by the name of Bandit that lived outside, and I was living in Indiana at the time, so he endured many, many winters and lived to be 16 years old and had a nice, long life. But you know, my background at that time was basically, you know, I knew about animals, I appreciated them, I respected them, but I wasn't a guy that would, you know, rescue cats from down from trees. I didn't save any squirrels off the side of the road that I remember. You know, that really wasn't part of my life. My life was to get a good education, work very hard, went to college, was the first in my family to go to college, and started a career in, 20-year career in telecommunications before this gift that I have now presented itself.
And this gift, of course, is being able to communicate with and get messages from, if you will, the various animals. Now, is this in this world as well as having passed?
Well, you know, I think it's, I deal mostly with animals that are with us today that have changes in their behavior, whether they're physical changes or whether they're emotional changes that they're going through. I deal quite a bit with lost animals, helping locate lost animals and helping you bring them back home, and we've had a great deal of success with that. But then I do get involved in that whole process of an animal that is in the process of transitioning, process of passing on, and how do you deal with that, and how do you determine if it's the right time, and what are their wishes at the time. And then once they do pass, how do you get through that grieving process? How do you really understand what that's all about?
We're going to allow our listeners to give you a call today and talk with you a little bit and get some insight as to where their animals are coming from. I'm actually curious about two of my own. One is a cat by the name of Allie, a tuxedo kitty, and he's not so much a kitty anymore. He's pretty good size. He actually came to us up on the hill. Somebody must have just dumped him. He couldn't have been more than a week to 10 days old, and he was out there. This was in like late October of 2008. And 2007, I believe it was. Needless to say, he was out there crying for 2 days, and we thought it was like a cub of like a bobcat, and it was like, there is no way I'm going down there and messing with a mama's litter. And then, of course, it turns out he was all by himself. And so we went down with the flashlights one evening, and he came walking right up to me, and I picked him right up. And he was then telling us about this for the next 3 days. But we also foster kittens here locally with an organization called ASAP. And we take them in, and we care for them until they're ready for adoption. And I'm wondering if his behavior – and here's the interesting thing is you could probably speak to this quite well, that usually we pick up – it's like it's not that hard to figure out why an animal is upset or is standing there whining at you or crying at you or meowing at you or barking at you or what have you. It's usually, you know, pretty out in the open. It's not something that's really hidden. But then there are certain things that are kind of difficult to pick up on. Like why my dog Makushla, the white shepherd, is so high-strung and so nervous, and I'm very curious about that. Can you give me some insight as to what is? She's also a rescue dog. We actually acquired her back in Phoenix. She had been hit by a car, we think, and had a broken leg, and they decided not to put her down. They fixed her leg, and certainly she gets around just fine. But she is a very, very nervous dog.
Well, in that case, I mean, the interesting thing about from the rescue standpoint is, you know, I deal a lot with rescue animals and foster homes. As a matter of fact, a majority of the stories in the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tell, deal with animals that are at a local rescue shelter and foster homes. Portion of the proceeds from the book goes back to animal rescue, and I'm the former president of Humane Society here in North Georgia, just north of Atlanta. So I'm very familiar with rescue organizations and how they work and animals that come from there. And one of the things that we want to try to make clear with people is the fact that, you know, doing rescue work and bringing an animal in is fantastic. It's a great thing that you're doing, and you'll have a wonderful life with those animals. But the one thing we need to do as humans is we need to not focus on the fact that they're a rescue, not worry about the trauma and the drama and the things that they went through in the past. And the reason I mention that is animals are just like us in the fact that, you know, they have a past and they have the present, and then they move on from this world. The challenge is the fact that our animals, they will understand their past, but they learn from that past, and they quickly eliminate the challenges they had in their past. They don't worry about the past. They live in the moment, live on whatever their purpose and mission is for being here before they transition. Unlike us humans, we get caught up in the past. We get caught up in our animals' past. We get caught up in our own past. We say we don't want to think about the past, but at any given second, we have an opportunity to talk about the challenges we've had in our lives. We'll be glad to do it. And so I always tell people, first and foremost, is learn from your animals. Learn the fact that they don't live in that past, and we shouldn't either, and we shouldn't worry about the past that they've had. So though there was some trauma in there from the car accident and being in rescue, et cetera, he's already gone through all that. That's done. That's history, so we shouldn't even worry about that.
Okay.
Okay. And part of that also is the fact that if we're still worrying about that, if we're still hanging on to that, then that is what I call negative energy that we're putting out there. And our animals do a great job at deflecting negative energy, negative thought. But if it's constantly bombarding them or they're being surrounded by it, then they start to absorb it. And that's when they start having some challenges. So whether it's us intentionally putting out our negativity out there or whether it's just things going on in our lives that cause us low energy, this negative energy, our animals will start to absorb it if it's continuous in our lives. They respond very well to positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you can do to help them out quite a bit is to always be positive.
Mm-hmm.
Always put out that positive energy. Don't worry about his past. Don't worry about the things going through. If there are things going on in your life that, you know, that, or in your family unit's life that's causing some trauma or drama, and then you want to try to alleviate that or eliminate that if possible, but explain it to your animal. Make sure that he understands that what the situation is and what he needs to do about and why it's going to be a good thing. So in his situation, it's more of a less about the past, more about his personality. He absorbs, he's very sensitive, so he absorbs a lot of things going on. So even if you have a very even-keeled household and things are going well, then he'll still be a little bit anxious. That's sort of his personality. So just be aware of that. And I think with him, you know, there's also things you can do to sort of calm him down and ease his mind and ease his personality. There are certain calming flower essences and supplements and, you know, herbal additives that you can add to his diet that will work as calming solutions as well.
Okay.
So I would recommend all that. Part of it's his personality, less of it's about his past, very sensitive, so whenever he's acting a little bit more anxious than usual, take a look within yourself, take a look within the household, see if there's something going on. And if there is, try to eliminate that, and he should be a little bit less anxious.
Well, thank you. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Tim Link is my guest, and he is the author of Wagging Tails. And every animal does have a tail, some form or another. We encourage you to give us a call if you'd like to talk with Tim. 805-564-1290 is our number here on the Central Coast. If you're listening online at richarddugan.com, you're listening to the live stream. It's 866-564-1290. That's 866-564-1290 or 805-564-1290. We're talking about your animals, your pets in your household. And it doesn't just have to be dogs or cats. It's, you know, we're talking about all the animals. Quite honestly, we also have a tortoise and a blue-tongued skank.
Ah.
And that is a legitimate animal. People going, what? And I say, look it up. I call it a snake with legs. Because that's kind of what he's like. He's something else, and he's getting larger as it is too. But it's just incredible the energy that different animals give off. I was just at the feed store just a little bit ago, and there was a dog there. Name was Henry, I believe. And I noticed something, and this was only after I left. I noticed that I never really said hello to Henry's owner. I only spoke to Henry. Is that something that we need to be more conscious of? We need to acknowledge when we're out and about and people are out with their animals. It's almost second nature to greet the animal first, because we all want to pet the cute little puppy and it's so wonderful. But there's a human being there too.
Well, I think it's actually, you know, I would probably look at it the opposite way around, the fact that the human being, you know, humans are very ego-driven, and I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way, but we are ego-driven. So when we have the family unit that we love, our dog, are out on a leash with us when we're walking around, and that dog gets recognized, it does help our ego. So we feel better about it, and the fact that you recognize someone that we loved, our furry little friend, and then perhaps you recognize me as the human companion to the furry little friend. The opposite way around, if you're not such an animal lover, you still want to connect with the animal, because the animal is a huge part of that person's life, and the animal will get, doesn't deal with the ego part of it like humans do, but they do want that love, they do want that attention, there's a reason for them being there. So, yeah, I think it goes hand in hand, goes both ways, but make sure you're greeting the animals as well. But it's pretty fascinating when you're when you're out and about. I know I catch myself doing that too. I'll say hello to the person and immediately off to the dog. And then of course when they hear what I do for a living, then they're like, "Oh, well, I'm definitely fine with that. Tell me what the heck is he thinking?"
Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about what some animals are thinking here on Tell Me Your Story. New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Emilio's at the Beach and Bar de Isabella proudly introduce Lower Prices. Now indulge yourself, your family, and friends with delicious starters for just $10, pastas and flatbreads just $15, and superb main courses $20. Emilio's owner Michael DiPaola thinks you shouldn't have to give up fine dining. Call 966-4426, 966-4426, or visit emiliosrestaurant.com. Emilio's at the Beach and Bar de Isabella, 324 West Cabrillo Boulevard in Santa Barbara.
You can't go on holding back a flooding river. Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do.
We're trying to understand our animals. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you for joining us as we give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we bring this program to you both on the radio here on the Central Coast and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And you can also check out all of the shows. This program will be archived as well once it's finished, and it'll be available for you to listen to again. If you'd like to give us a call now and talk with Tim Link of WaggingTales.com, that is the website, and it's actually Wagging-Tales.com, and you can get more information. Tim, let's kind of get into this process that you have for listening to and or hearing, obviously from great distances, and as of course as we have learned. In our own personal searches and through this radio program and interviews, there's no time and space when it comes to connecting, shall we say, one soul to another. And I would venture you believe that animals do have souls.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I see animals are just like us, as I mentioned before, and they do. They have souls, or I call energy. So we're all made up of energy, and we come down and we select a body, and we're here to fulfill our mission and purpose the best we can while we're here, and then we leave that body and go back into energy. So whether we call it souls or energy, however you want to label it, yes, they definitely do. And, you know, with the animals, as far as being able to communicate with them and connect with them, you know, we're all born with this ability. You know, animals communicate on that telepathic, that intuitive, that heart connection between each other. That's how they communicate every day. That's why we see, you know, geese flying in formation. And when the lead goose gets tired, it automatically knows to fall to the back of the pack, and the one in the back moves to the front. Does that, not instinctually, does that through that connection. And they do it through not the verbalization, like a goose would honk or quack or whatever a goose does, that we hear. It's that telepathic, that's that intuitive connection they have, and they know when to move and when to change positions. You know, you see it often with, if you have two dogs in the house, they can be laying beside each other, they can be sound asleep, then all of a sudden both of them get up at the same exact time, they stretch, and they walk to the back door. Now, it wasn't a routine type of thing. It was the thing where they connected, and they said, hey, it's time to get up, let's go do something, let's go out and do our business outside, and they know to do it. It's that instinctual thing. Hmm. And with us humans, we have this when we're born. You know, have you heard of this little thing called mother's intuition?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, when we're 1-2 years old, we haven't formed our vocabulary, so we can't communicate with our mother like you and I are communicating. Of course, we can cry and scream and coo and do all the wonderful things infants do. But that real connection, that mother's intuition, comes from that same intuitive connection that animals share, that same telepathic connection. The mother knows when she looks at little Timmy that there's something wrong. and she acts upon it. She gets that gut feeling. She gets a vision in her mind that something's not quite right, and I need to check on this. I'm in another room, and I better go check on my child because I know there's something going on. It's that thing where, you know, the mother knows, she acts upon it and solves the problem. And then when you ask the mother afterwards, well, how'd you know that? What'd you get? And she's like, I don't know. He showed me something. I got this feeling. I got this emotion. I knew something was going on. I can't quite pinpoint what it is, but I know it. I know to trust it, and I move forward with it. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about this connection, is we have to learn to trust those connections. The challenge we have is by the time we get to be, you know, 4 or 5 years old, we're starting to learn our vocabulary. Then we go to school. We're taught to communicate in a certain fashion. And then we get involved in cultural things where only certain ways to communicate are acceptable. And then we lose it. We forget all about it. It's taught out of us, and we never think about it again. Meanwhile, the animals continue to communicate in that same fashion. So what we have to do is get back to where we started from, get in that quiet zone, getting in that accepting zone that the information you're receiving, whether it's from human or from animal, that is correct and it's accurate, and to act upon it. And when we get back to that level, then we can actually sit down and have a conversation with the animals.
Well, I suppose in one sense, I suppose we could refer to you as Dr. Doolittle, a.k.a.
Sure, I'll
manner
take that.
Speaking.
I'll take that.
I know that we would all love to be able to, at a moment's notice, understand why. I mean, one of our cats will walk up and just sit down and start just telling us all about it, whatever it is. We just got home. We don't know what's been going on here in the house. We don't know whether they're saying, hey, so-and-so did this to me, and, you know, they were mean to me or what have you, or they were, you know. And that's the other thing, too, is I'm curious. Do domesticated animals, because that's what we're dealing with, they don't have the same emotional scale / makeup that we as humans do in terms of that whole range in terms of getting angry at another animal and going after them. Are those kinds of things part of their makeup as well?
Well, from an emotional standpoint, they absolutely do have the same feelings we do. So they go through grief like we do. They go through emotions and anxiety and worry. The things that we go through, our animals go through as well. The great thing about our animals is they can process it a lot quicker and move on and get back to where they need to be. They don't hang on to it or don't let it ruin their day.
So there's where the difference is.
That's the big difference.
It's the time frame.
Time frame's the big thing. They can analyze it. They can figure out what's going on. Yeah. The more we can explain it to them, the more they understand it and the more they move on.
Whereas we like to enjoy it, so we hang on to it for days and weeks and months and years.
Exactly. And that's where exactly right. You know, and that's where the ego thing comes in as well. Animals don't deal on an ego type.
Okay, there's the big difference.
That's a big difference as well. You know, they don't deal in hatred and revenge and those type of things. Yeah, they'll go through the emotions. They may be upset, or they may be confused. They may not understand fully what's going on unless it's explained to them. But they don't you know, hide and, you know, wait and try to get back at us for leaving them too long. You know, I hear that. It's like, every time I leave my dog, you know, he tears up everything. He's getting back at me. Well, no, that's not the case. It's probably more like you left. He's confused. You didn't explain where you were going, when you'll be back, and what was he to do while you're gone. You didn't give him a job to do, and that's probably why he acted out. He just didn't know what to do.
Now, when you say tell your dog, are you literally saying tell the dog? Talk to him in English?
Absolutely.
Hey, look, I will be back in a few hours. I've got to go do this thing. I'm just wanting to let you know. You just take it easy. Everything's okay. I'm coming back. Because it's more the tone in your voice than the actual words that they're hearing.
I'm sorry.
No, okay, what is it?
You know, it actually is the words. It's a 3-part process. And I'll give you a little quiz. If you're up for a quiz.
I'm ready. Okay, let me get my pen and paper.
Here it is, nice and easy. So this is a quiz anybody can do. Anybody can do this quiz, and this will give you a real good understanding of what our animals go through. And it doesn't matter if it's dogs, cats, horses. We're talking about all animals here, because they do understand the words that we're saying. They, more importantly, they see the visualization that we're putting behind those words, And so when we say words out loud, the visualization will automatically come through, whether it's subconscious or whether it's a conscious thing that we're putting out there. And then most importantly, our energy changes, our energy shifts. So here's the quiz, nice and easy. I'm going to give you two words. And when I say those two words, I'll repeat them. You tell me if you verbally heard the words and if you saw the words in some fashion.
Okay.
Okay? So the two words are orange ball, orange ball. Now, did you hear me say the words orange ball?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see an orange ball?
I started to, yes.
Okay, you started to. And what did your orange ball look like?
It was actually orange. It had those like tennis ball stripes around them. Almost like a fuzzy orange ball, but it was very large.
Fuzzy, big orange ball, exactly right. And that's what the animals see and hear. So they hear those words. More importantly, they see the visualization behind it. Now, maybe perhaps what I was trying to visualize was a orange, the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was what I was trying to visualize. So the first time they may or may not get it. So the more we're consciously projecting a visual image out there of that orange, the fruit orange, the more they're going to pick up on it. So sometimes we come back a second or third time, but one, the more visual we are about it, the better they pick up on it. And then the third aspect behind that is the energy level. It's when we say words out loud and the visualization comes out, we feel better about it. Our energy goes to a higher level. So it's that old terminology of, let's talk about it, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about it, get it off your chest, those type of things we hear and we say all the time, and that's exactly right. Once we've talked about it, we visualize it automatically. The more visual we are, the better off we that the animals can pick up on us, and then we feel better about it because we've talked it through. And so animals always respond to higher energy, a happier, positive, higher energy. They always respond better to that. So when we talk about things about when you leave the house, animals go through a great deal of anxiety. One of the top three things I deal with is my dog is anxious when I leave the house. And or it could be your cat also.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about how you, before you leave the house, you tell the animals where you're going, you tell them when you'll be back, and most importantly, you give them a job to do because you'll feel better once you've given them a job. So you simply say, Spot, Daddy's going to go to work. I'll be back in 8 hours, which will be 6 p.m. I need you to lay down and take a long nap. I need you to, lay in your big boy bed. I need you to watch out the window, whatever it is. Try not to give them a job where things like protect the house.
I want you to wash the car.
Wash the car. Wax it. Double wax on, wax off. But they do feel better about that. And there's a wonderful story in the book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, that talks about a cat. And this cat had used its litter box instinctually for 10 years. Never had a problem, no issues. All of a sudden, for a two-week period, the cat stopped using the litter box. So the human companion, as I call them, the owner of the animal, the human companion, their first instinct was, okay, there must be something physically going on. Because our cats are great barometers, and usually when there's a physical thing going on, like a urinary tract infection or bladder infection, what have you, they'll stop using the litter box. And this is true of domesticated rabbits also, so it's a good barometer.
Mm-hmm.
So she took the cat to the veterinarian. They ran all the tests, the urinalysis, the blood work. Everything came back perfect. No problems, no physical problems. So this continued on, and so she contacted me. Said, I don't know what's going on. Cat is going on my carpet, going on the curtains, going on the bed, you name it. So we connected with the animal to find out what was going on, and the cat kept using the word changes, 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 changes. So I'm thinking, well, we know animals love their routines, and they hate changes in the routine, so there must be something going on, but it changes, that's pretty broad, that can mean anything, that you've changed everything from the carpet to the drapes to, anything else in your life. So we kept asking the animal, and I kept connecting back with the human companion, saying, okay, what's changed? Have you got new carpets, new drapes, new bedspread, any of this? And all was, no, everything's the same, the food's the same, everything's great. So I connected with the animal once again, asked the cat, what changes are you talking about? And she said, the cat said the word job. So job changes. So I asked the lady, I said, have you changed your job? She said, no, same job I've always had. And she said, But you know, I've been coming home later than usual. I've been coming home at 7 p.m. instead of 5 p.m. I said, oh, really? I said, well, how long has that been going on? She she said, about 2 weeks. Then the light bulb went off.
Mm-hmm.
The cat started having problems and in expressing itself, literally and figuratively, and because there was a change in the routine and nobody ever explained it to the cat.
Yeah.
So I told her, I said, tell your cat where you're going, when you'll be back, and more importantly, what is she to do while you're gone? And the lady said, okay, well, I can do that. She said, but, you know, this is all still new to me, so can I, like, add a little twist in there? Can I have her, like, greet me at the front door, which she's never done in her life? I said, sure. Explain to her that you're going to work, you're going to be home at 7 p.m. instead of 5 p.m., and to greet you at the doorway when you come in. She said, great. From that day, the next day forward, and this story is 2 years old now,
mm-hmm.
the cat has used the litter box exclusively, is a happy cat, and is greeting her at the front door.
Wow, wow. Well, now this raises an interesting question, and we're going to shift over to dogs for just a moment. There is a gentleman who is referred to as the dog whisperer, and he is, from what I have seen on television, he is a firm believer in not treating your animals, specifically dogs, like human beings. And that's where a lot of people go wrong when they can't seem to get their dogs to do what they want them to do. They can't train them because they treat them like humans. Well, they're not humans. They're dogs. Which I'm trying to figure out, okay, and your point is what? Because I don't know how a dog acts because I haven't been around them. I've not been around packs. I've learned a lot from my wife because she had a pack of 4 Siberian Huskies. She understands alpha, beta, male, that kind of, that whole dynamic. And so we have 2 dogs, and neither of them really is exhibiting the alpha. Although I have to say probably her dog, Connor, is probably the more dominant of the two in spite of her high energy. Just because she has high energy doesn't mean she's dominant. But they both love each other. They get along great and everything. And I'd have to say that for the most part, we treat them just as you speak. I mean, when I take them out to the run when we leave to go to work, I say, hey, we'll be back later on this evening. I don't give them a specific time because I'm never really 100% certain when we're coming home. But, hey, we're coming back today, you know, and we'll bring you in and so on and so forth. And they really are pretty well behaved and very intelligent dogs. What is your perspective on that in terms of dogs, but maybe shifting into cats and maybe other animals that we might have as domesticated pets, in terms of how we treat them as human in that context or in some other fashion?
Well, you know, I think that it depends on how you use the word human.
Okay.
Okay. So if we treat them with, let's take let's step away from the dog and let's take a look at a child. So when we're raising children, if we're not communicating with them clearly about what is right, what is wrong, what the expectations are, treating them with respect but giving them guidance, then we end up having a child that doesn't understand what they're supposed to be doing or when they're supposed to do it, and they tend to do the things that they want to do, because nobody's ever given them any guidance, nobody's ever communicated with them, and perhaps that's why we have challenges with adolescents. So if that's the case, and we can communicate with our children and give them guidance and give them direction and better understanding, why wouldn't we want to do that with our animals?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand from a dog standpoint there is an alpha. There is typically one that steps forward. We see that in human life. Whenever we're with friends or family or coworkers, there tends to be one that has more of an alpha personality, the more leader of the group, and we tend to follow that leader because things move smoothly when we follow that leader. But there's always a dominant person, or in this case an animal, a dog, in the pack. So that is the natural progression of things. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be communicating with each of these animals, because each of them have a role, each of them have a purpose, each of them have a job to do. So as soon as we can identify the dynamics and the individual personality of each of those dogs, the more those dogs are going to fit well and understand what's going on in their lives. So I think there's a fine line there. I think that training is very important. Teaching your animal certain verbal techniques to get them to do the basic things that you want them to do, sit, stay, lay, those type of things are fine. But if they don't fully understand why they should sit, stay, or lay, then they'll continue on to do what they're needing to do.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I think there's a fine line, and I think any good trainer out there would hopefully understand that each individual animal does have their own personality, and they use a combination of communicating with them as well as teaching them training techniques.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Well, I think that again, we all have to find our own way, and if one method works for you versus another, you know, then use that one method that works for you. That's very important as well. And we hope that people will check out your work at wagging-tails.com. And check out your book. We are also linked to your website at richarddugan.com, so people can go from us to you directly and get all that good information. Check out your book, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. And Tim Link is my guest. And before we go to break, I received an email from a good friend of mine who wanted me to ask you. She knew that you were going to be on the program this week and wanted me to ask you about her little dog. And I don't even think I have the name of the dog correct. A Dosha, I think that was what it was. It's a small dog. Anyway, the dog's name is Barkley. Well, she went through some physical procedure, not too long ago. And her dog was exhibiting some what she thought were very unusual behaviors and wanted to know what was going on with Barkley, because she thought something was, in a way, she thought something was wrong because of his behavior.
Yeah, so he had some behavior changes, and it was around the time she had some surgery.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sitting here with you going, well, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So, see, you're already tuned in. You're already trusting your instincts, and you know, I always tell people that if you trust your instincts, then you're pretty much all the way there. You know, you're at least halfway home if you trust what you're getting. But it's when we go through a situation in our lives, a traumatic situation, which surgery of any fashion is a traumatic situation. Our energy changes. We have to recover, so our energy naturally is lower than it usually is. So whenever there's a major change like that, we definitely need to be communicating with our animals, letting them know what that situation is and what they need to do about it and why is it going to be okay. So we're going back to talking to them and visualizing that and letting them know what's going on. Right now, that little dog is still wondering what's happening. Why do you feel differently? Why is your energy different than it usually is? Why did you go away and now you're back home? What would you do during that time? So all these little things that pop up that her little dog is still questioning. So what I would encourage her to do is actually talk to her dog. Tell the dog what that situation was and what her dog needs to do about it, and why is it going to be a good thing. So, you know, I had a little surgery. Mom had some issues, and I had to get them fixed, and I feel better about it. Talk about it all you want, you know, that you're on the right path, everything's good, they caught all the problems, and Mommy's doing great. What I need you to do is give me extra love and extra attention. Try not to be, bark as much, whatever the dog's doing. Try not to do that as much, and Mom's going to be okay, and everything's going to be good, and this will help me out a lot. And by doing this, she's going to feel better about it. She's going to talk it through. The dog will understand. They'll get that visualization once again, and more importantly, the dog will start to respond.
Well, I know that if she's not listening today, she said she would download and listen to the archives, so hopefully that helps her to understand a little bit more. And again, it makes perfect sense. I mean, when you change the routine specifically of a dog, which is what my wife has taught me over and over again because I keep making the mistake. For example, with the four Siberians that we had back in Phoenix, she says, Misha's bowl is here, and Sierra's is here, and Shiloh's is here, and Chemo's is here. And when I would move them, it would drive them nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. And I couldn't understand why they, come on, guys, eat. Well, it's because I moved their location. And they like the routine. They love, they want the structure. And we even had a situation here up on the hill when we first moved here where I built a run for them out of these runs that you buy like at Home Depot, 6x6x4 feet high kind of thing, chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I put three of them together. But these two dogs that we brought with us, they were used to a brick fence. And it wasn't until after they escaped twice and one of them wound up on the Highway 154, was not injured, was okay. We managed to bring him home and he was fine. It dawned on me, oh, yeah, they're not only used to a physical barrier, but they're also used to a visual barrier, not seeing outside of their den. And with a chain link fence on all four sides, you have no place to hide.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was then that it dawned on me. So then when I built the new run, I went through the elaborate, painstaking efforts of making sure that they had a secure place from the ground up, or below ground up for that matter, and that they also had a physical as well as a visible barrier, so that they would feel safe within the circumference of this area that we built. And again, this is just kind of, you know, thinking like a dog. And then when these dogs would start to try to break out of even this new area that I'd built for them, I'd say, "Will you guys stop it?" And, well, they wouldn't. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. They're actually helping me. I said, no, keep doing it. Because every time they exposed a vulnerable part of the run, I would reinforce it and fix it. And then they would move to another place and find that weak point. So I used them as a tool. And it worked very well.
Great structural engineers.
Oh, they are incredible. And I'll tell you what, I wish they would help me cut the wood for firewood, but so far all they wanted to do was carry it around the yard. And then I have to go collect it again. But that's all right. They're just playing.
Well, they're distributing the wood back to where it really belongs.
Probably so. Well, Tim, if you'll stay with us, we just have another short segment before we wrap up our program. Tim Link is my guest. His book is entitled Wagging Tails. Every animal has a tail. We all have tails. Maybe not necessarily a prehensile, but maybe in a metaphorical or metaphysical perspective, we have prehensile tails. As long as I get to keep my opposable thumb, I feel okay. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Wagging-tails.com is the website. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a mail hold right now for the go-no-go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Are you sad or angry about past events in your life? Would you like more joy, love, and peace? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
See how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go. Walk with me, talk with me.
Tell me your story. New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan here with Tim Link, author of Wagging Tails. Every animal has a tail, and we encourage you to check out his website, wagging-tails.com, and maybe get a copy of his book. Share it with your pets. I mean, hey, you know, if kids like it when you read to them at night before bedtime, how do you think your animals are going to respond? Speaking of which, Tim, I had an interesting experience with one of our foster kittens. His name is Adam. Beautiful, beautiful yellow cat. Oh, my gosh. I would have loved to have kept him, too. But that is also one of the dangers of fostering animals. You may end up with more than you bargained for.
That's right.
But he would respond to my singing when we would take him down to the vet for his shots or to get him fixed. He seemed to calm down, whereas just talking to him, even calmly and softly, didn't seem to have quite the same effect. How does what role does music play in all of this?
Well, it's huge. I mean, it's just like with us. You know, whenever we're in need of comforting, whenever we're in need of being picked up and energized, music is one of the first places we turn to. And so it comforts us, it feeds our soul, it feeds us. And the animals are the same way. I mean, when I leave the house and I go through that process of telling my dogs where I'm going, when I'll be back, and what are they to do while I'm gone, I make sure that I leave the radio on. And they do have a preference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're very much country dogs.
I was just thinking that. You probably leave it on a country station.
It's the country station for them, and they like it because it's amazing because they do get a little bit more. They'll listen to the music if it's another type of music. They get a little bit more anxious than when it's country. And don't ask me. It's just the way it is.
Have you ever heard of this? And we tried this back in Phoenix when it was cold out. It was too cold to leave them outside. And even though they were Siberians, it was a pretty chilly, down to 32, 28 degrees. Mm. Those rare occasions when Phoenix, Arizona gets down there. But we set up their crates in the garage. And we'd put them in there and close the door, and they would just bark and bark and howl and howl and bark and bark. And just they were upset because they were not where they were supposed to be. We did some checking on the internet. I actually found a recording of what they claim was dogs laughing. So I dubbed it, I downloaded it, and I mixed it so that it ran an hour and we did a continuous loop on it. It actually had an amazing effect to calm them. Have you heard anything like this before?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it even goes as far as some people will record their voices or another person in the household's voice. And it will add comfort to the animal. I had a great situation the other day. We were talking before the show started about, you know, next books. You know, mm-hmm. We got so many different ideas, and we're actually putting pen to paper, but uh-huh. Nowadays it's a combination of computers. Anyway, I have my various radio shows and TV shows both on the website at wagging-tales.com and as well as on a DVR that we have at home. And they're sitting, my two dogs are laying there with me, they're sound asleep, and I'm flipping through these videos and audios, and my voice is going 1,000 miles an hour. They're very used to my voice going 1,000 miles an hour. They didn't pay any attention whatsoever. But there was a clip on there, there's two clips actually. My wife Kim and I are pretty much involved with animal rescue organizations here in the greater Atlanta area as well as across the nation. And we occasionally will go down to the local television station with a dog and a cat for an adoption event, and we get to be on TV. Well, I was on there talking, like I always do, dog stayed asleep. All of a sudden my wife's voice came on. They immediately sat up, listened, looked at the TV, like, wow, Mom actually gets a voice.
Well, we've even been watching TV, and our dogs are in their crates for the night, and we go to a show, and a dog starts barking on the TV, and one of the dogs in the room starts barking. So it's quite extraordinary. Tim, we're just about out of time, and I want to thank you very much for sharing your story and your time. And WaggingTales.com, that's Wagging-Tales.com with us. And we certainly hope that we can stay in touch with you and have you on to maybe help others who might need some assistance.
Absolutely. Be glad to. Appreciate the opportunity. And just remember, go out there and give those animals a voice and talk to them.
Absolutely. It's if it's your animal, if it's your dog or your cat, then it's your voice that they need to hear. Tim, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Stay on the line there. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Love to Lal. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend. We'll see you back here.